croissant?
Non, monsieur.
Ah, oh, you call this coffee?
Well, I call this America.
On a l'image. Tu peux dégager maintenant, Jean-Luc. On a un signal, monsieur.
You said this was French roast.
Ben oui, regardez. C'est marqué French roast.
More cream.
Carpet day!
Huh?
No!
Dada speaks to you.
Bitch, are you Mario?
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. We're all out of bubblegum.
He think he's bad, he ain't got no class. I'm gonna rock this shotgun up his motherfucking ass.
In 100 years, I'll have my revenge on your great-granddaughter.
It'd be a lot cooler if he did.
You don't give me my money tonight. I'm gonna put that young girl of yours out of my way, boy.
If you crave satisfaction, this is the place to find that action.
And tell him I want him out of here in 24 hours. And 23 of them are already gone.
Hey, baby, so bad the good Midnight Cool Classics Drink Camp coming back at you with another one. I'm Ian, and we're doing quite a movie here. This is one of those big blockbusters of the late 90s that like defined the 90s and was like a really like huge monumental movie that had so much hype that everybody was like really like looking forward to, and then it sucked, and or at least that's what we all tell ourselves 20 years later, 25 years later. Does it really suck? Does it hold up? Is it actually good? Is it underrated? Is it all of these things and more? We'll find out in just a second.
This is 7 November
Golf. The target's heading right at us.
He's too fast.
Panamanian government. Evidence of passengers dead or alive.
Please stand by.
I'll be slowing down.
Georgia! Plane's only 200 miles off the eastern American seaboard. We don't even know what the hell it is.
Let's get into it. I am joined by three of the main guys, the guys you hear a lot. You know them. I'm gonna say y'all's names in just a minute. But before I introduce you guys, I'll go ahead and just real quickly say my thing on this, and then I'll let you guys talk. So we're all around the same age, more or less a few years. I'd say that we were like the age to appreciate this movie when it came out, when we were in like elementary school, because we were dumb. We were, you know what I'm saying? Like, we were naive, we were dumb. We thought that this was awesome.
Maybe you were dumb.
The kids who were older than us, they were like, yeah, this is trash. And then the kids who were younger than us, they, you know, they never got a chance to, like, see it in theaters, so they were like, okay, this sucks. And then, so I remember really enjoying this when I was a kid, and then I didn't watch it, and then everybody, like, was saying, oh, yeah, Godzilla 98, that movie fucking sucked. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I rewatched it for this podcast because... Ryan and I, we went to go see the new Godzilla Minus One. Great movie. And so I was like, you know what? Let's go back to Godzilla 98. You know, the shitty one. And so I rewatched it for this. And yeah, it was a lot worse than I thought it would be. I mean, I expected it to be bad. But yeah, this is a whole fucking crazy thing. Doesn't I'd say that the special effects hold up pretty well. Especially, it has a good, like, strong first third of the movie. The first act is pretty good. I'd say, like, it's pretty good. Like, all the build up, all the introduction of the characters, and then the second act is like a bit weaker. It's not bad. It's okay. And then by the third act, I just don't care anymore. So let's see if these guys agree with what I just had to say. I'll say y'all's names, say what's up, and then in one word, give me your how you think about this movie. Is it bad? Is it trash? Is it good? What do you think? Is it so bad? Is it good? All right. So first, of course, we got my man Ryan's in the house.
Hey, Ian. How are you?
What's up?
If I had to say anything about this movie, I would say, good soundtrack.
What about the movie itself?
Uninteresting.
Uninteresting. Cool. All right. We'll see what you have to say more about it later on. We got my dude Seth is here.
Hey. Yeah, I'll say it's, fine.
Fine. Okay.
I don't hate it. Don't love it. It's fine.
All right. And we got my homie Aaron.
Howdy, howdy. What I can say about this movie is that it is a film, and it does feature Godzilla.
Or does it?
It features maybe, arguably, too many
Godzilla. A lizard monster. It features a lizard monster. I would say that's
probably more fair than anything.
That's one of the things that people hate about this movie is the most is that it's called Godzilla. They refer to it as Godzilla. It is not Godzilla. Discuss.
This movie could have been about a different monster and not about Godzilla.
Yeah, I've seen some of the stuff. Yeah, I've seen some stuff. I think even some people from some of the Japanese people from Toho, I've seen some names around when I was looking up some things on IMDb about it, and they kind of had that sentiment that, you know, if you just didn't call it Godzilla, you know, it's just a lizard movie. But it doesn't really... It's funny. They actually have a rule book for what you're supposed to do or you can and cannot do with Godzilla. It's right. Apparently, here's the notes here. Godzilla's origin has to be tied to a nuclear accident. He cannot eat people, only fish. He has to have three rows of dorsal plates, no more or less than three toes on his feet and four fingers on his hands. He has to have a long tail. He cannot be made fun of, and he cannot die in the movie.
Those are the rules. They followed most of them.
Yeah, they killed them.
Well, they got around some of them, right? Like, they can't eat people, only fish. So they had the people smell like fish and make the little baby Godzillas think they're eating fish. So, like, they kind of played around on these. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, the babies ate the French guys. The Godzilla himself didn't kill anybody, not a single New Yorker.
Well, I think that maybe he didn't kill them, like, explicitly on screen, but how do you rampage through New York and not squash 1,000-plus people? You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he did destroy the pilots, though.
Yeah, he chomped pilots. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, he did. He did. He ate some people. That I mean, there's a lot of things. They had a lot of shots of his feet. I think there was more than three toes, if I remember right, too.
No, it was three, because remember he was standing in the...
toes, and then there is a back stabilizing toe, like a dude.
Yeah.
If you will.
Oh, yeah.
What's interesting...
He was standing in the footprint, and there were the three toes.
What's interesting is the designer for Godzilla here, his name's Patrick Tatopoulos.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the main character's last name, they keep saying, apparently. And he claims he never received this list of rules, despite Roland Emmerich having forwarded them to him. So the designer only got a few specific instructions. Apparently, he was supposed to be able to run really fast and not resemble a dinosaur too closely. He also requested that the monster be slightly erotic and sensual. What? In the way it moves and brushes its tail against buildings.
Absolutely.
These were the design notes. Now, this guy, Patrick, he also designed the Koopas in the Mario movie. He's also designed the Godzilla. He also did some of the effects or designs for Bram Stoker's Dracula as well, apparently.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, that was a pretty good one. He's that bad.
I mean, I guess that really makes sense, Godzilla moving all sensual-like, because I feel like Godzilla was like one of many things that was trying to fuck Matthew Broderick in this movie.
Yeah. Everybody was out for him.
Yeah.
Well, he did not give a shit about anybody.
Not to get tied up on this like that, but I mean, how did he know if Godzilla was male or female? Because...
My question too.
That he's pregnant, right?
Yeah.
But then he's just like, oh, he's asexual. He's a guy. He's like, what the?
Yeah, they were like very much on the he. He's pregnant. And it was like a very unusual he. And this movie goes very far to like make Godzilla male and make us all understand and realize that Godzilla, who lays eggs. Is male.
I mean, if that's fine. I don't have a problem with it, but I don't understand how they came to this conclusion with what was presented in the movie. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying is that the person who wrote the script had the problem. Like, it's no problem, but they were like, Godzilla's a man, goddammit.
That might have been one of the rules here that they just didn't add. Godzilla has to be a man. I'll say one thing I think I remember more about the movie, which kind of says against this movie, is I actually remember more of the marketing campaign for this movie than the actual movie. They put in a lot in the marketing machine for this movie. I remember the Taco Bell commercial with the little Chihuahua dog before they got rid of the Chihuahua dog.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was like, you'll get on Taco Bell. And, like, the lizard thing comes down and, I don't know, steps in front of the Chihuahua dog. I forget exactly how it went down, but I just remember that, as well as a number of the other things, the little commercials, the toys. I remember the animated show that lasted a season.
Yeah.
But I just remember, like, it's interesting because it's I was only 10 at the time. So I think I was on the younger side compared to most everybody. How old were y'all when this came out?
I was 11. And,
11. Right, so we're all close.
Yeah. Although Aaron is a few years younger than us, so that's what I'm wondering. What's your history with this? Since you were
yeah, like, actually feel like backing off like all of that marketing. Like I don't explicitly remember the campaign, but I remember that it was like a huge deal that this movie was coming out, and I think this was released in late May of '98. And so I got really excited, and my 9th birthday party was actually me and some friends. My dad took us to go see this film in theaters. So, like, I just remember being really excited. I remember liking the movie, like, as a kid, thinking it was, like, really cool. I think if you look at, like, these special effects, like, someone said it earlier, like, they didn't spare budget on this film by any means. So, like, I remember using thinking, like, this was really cool, and, like, all the toys that came out with it. Like, I thought Godzilla looked really cool. So yeah, like had a little bit of history that way with it.
Speaking on that with the budget's interesting. There's the film's first teaser trailer began appearing in theaters a full year before the film was released. They hyping this movie up, and apparently the trailer contained a shot of Godzilla's foot coming through the roof of a museum and crushing a T-Rex skeleton.
Yeah,
this wasn't in the film.
Oh shit! I think I do remember that.
Something about spent like $600,000 on like that production, and then it didn't even make it in the movie.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. It cost $600,000. That scene of him coming down and smashing a T-Rex was just put it out for marketing. It wasn't in the movie, and it was $600,000 to do that shot.
Deliberately taking a shot at the Jurassic Park franchise.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, that's the thing is that another thing this movie's criticized for is being like a ripoff of Lost World, basically.
Well, take it that last act in the Lost World was more interesting than this entire movie.
Well, basically, like, I don't know, this whole movie to me seemed like this really high budget, low, especially now in hindsight. Like, I just finished watching this movie again, and like, it's not good as an adult, but like, I had this feeling like they spent a ton of money ripping off like a few major movies, Jurassic Park being one of them, Godzilla being the other. And I think there's like, I'm gonna make a point that I think that Star Wars was really ripped off here. If you look at the accuracy of the missile launches, you know, these might as well be stormtroopers just fucking shooting at Godzilla. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is they say that like Godzilla has like no heat, so like the buildings are being more targeted by the heat-seeking missiles.
So yes, the very hot buildings of New York just radiating nothing but heat.
That nobody is in because they evacuated the whole city. So there's not
in,
really
in a couple of hours, buildings. Too. They were really efficient on evacuating the
city. Yeah.
But somehow the torpedoes, really good tracking on the torpedoes, just not on any surface-to-air missiles.
plus they tried really hard to make a lot of this movie goofy as well.
Yeah.
Especially having two actors from The Simpsons being in this movie.
Three actors.
I thought there was more than that, actually. Three?
I saw somewhere that this has, like, outside of The Simpsons, this is the production with the most Simpsons actors.
I mean, okay, so there's the main two. You got Harry Shearer, who does like Principal Skinner, and Kent Brockman.
Who was Kent Brockman in this movie?
Yeah, he was Kent Brockman in this movie. And then you got what's his name?
Hank Azaria.
Yeah, Hank Azaria. Yeah, who does like Mo and a bunch. Basically, those two guys do like most of the voices. Now there is a third one. Does anybody know who the third one was? Nope. All right, Nancy Cartwright. She does the voice of Bart. Nancy Cartwright had a small cameo, which is she's a secretary to the news broadcaster, Harry Shearer, and she's the one who says, "Oh, your story just walked by the window."
That was it.
He like totally misses Godzilla, like when he looks, Godzilla just like disappears.
I must have totally
really good at disappearing in those movies.
I must have totally missed that because I couldn't get over the fact that how much Jean Reno was such a coffee Nazi in this movie.
All he wanted in this movie was a good cup of coffee.
Okay, so while we're talking about French coffee, my favorite stupid scene is where he's like, I wanted the French coffee. They're like, it's French roast. And he's like, well, then give me more cream.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he didn't have anything bad to say about it. It's like, well, if it's French roast, then every French person would be pleased.
Like, okay. Yeah. He's like, you call that French roast? And then he shows him the can. He's like, oh, you got me.
More cream then.
Yeah, the guys are so fucking French in this movie. They're like, where's the croissants? And,
Like, even their names were so French.
They were all
one was like Jean-Luc, like Jean-Pierre.
They were all Jean. I think all three of them had Jean something.
And, the other guy, I believe his name was Jacques.
Yeah.
I can't get over them like bypassing security with fucking Jean Reno just doing a terrible Elvis impersonation.
That's how you blend in America, folks.
You speak like one of the most iconic people that no one has ever sounded like before, since, or after.
Those are terrible security guys. Everybody in this movie should be fired. Like, all the characters, everybody is really terrible at their job. All of them. They all broke many rules and laws. And the only guy who like, did his job was the old fisherman that everybody was just, like, making fun of for going to go fish in the rain at the harbor. You know?
Well, honestly, I would say the cameraman was also pretty damn good at his job, I would say. He went for the story and got the photo shots. That's of true. Everything. Like, he was actually...
All right, you're right. Animal
did a great job. That guy really stood up for the job.
I love how it's like, it's just rainy balls. It's like 30 degrees outside. And this old man... Who is probably gonna die next week is just gonna go fishing, and they're like, "Oh, you're gonna catch the cold, haha!" But not only does he catch something, not only does he catch something big, but he catches Godzilla.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because that made me furious. This guy throws out a bobber, so like the bait couldn't have been more than like maybe a couple of feet from the bobber.
Yeah,
and then it's like hundreds of feet out, he somehow manages to hook Godzilla. It will, and even though Godzilla is coming towards him, it yanks away the pole.
Yeah,
there's so much wrong from a fishing standpoint and just from a basic common sense perspective that it really ground my gears.
But it's for the visual, you know, like just the look of like, oh, what did I catch? And it's big Godzilla. We don't care about reality. This is a movie.
Then he runs away, and then Godzilla like destroys the bridge, the little thing, like plank by plank. And they're like, oh shit.
Man had some fucking footwork, is what he did. Dude, like that whole thing collapsing around him, and he doesn't trip up for a second. He just keeps going.
This movie definitely did not care about reality, because you're telling me in 1998, you're telling me it's okay to actually go to Chernobyl, Ukraine, and it's not highly radiated?
Well, it didn't seem like anyone was worried about the radiation at all. Like, at the first, you know, they're like, they're scanning the guy in the Japanese hospital, and he's like all radioactive, and then this guy, like Matthew Broderick, is handling these radioactive guts with his bare hands in the movie. No one's worried about cancer at all.
Yeah. No
radiation sickness. Like,
I also don't understand what the close-up of the gut... Like, that bothered me that we had three shots of this old man going, Gojira, with the flame in front of his face. Like, I don't understand
what the point
flame
of
in front of his face was. Like, it was all meant to, I guess, set some kind of mood of, like, it's Godzilla. But it was like... looking at it, it's like, this is a crazy old man who just got flung off a boat. Like, I don't know what to make of any of this. Now, of course, once you see the footprints and the added footage, I guess it makes sense. I don't understand why we kept seeing that. I think it's that scene popped up like 3 times.
Yeah.
Like,
and
in the news.
And that's not just like this sensitive document that, like, it is, it's not for the public. And it was nothing.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know what this movie was supposed to be? Or initially the first pitch of this, the Bond? Because initially they gave this movie to someone else to do. And he wanted a $120 million budget. And they were like, nah, that's too expensive. And then they gave these guys almost $150 million to make this flop. Which is funny in hindsight. But initially, apparently DuBont wanted to do a Godzilla that originated out of Atlantis and was going to fight a griffin monster.
What?
Yes. And Stan Winston was going to do like the effects and the monster, the designs. And Stan Winston did Predator. He did Terminator. He did those movies. He did like the effects that he was designing. In fact, he actually made molds and stuff for the Godzilla that they were going to use for the movie, and then it got shot down. But we were going to get some Godzilla from Atlantis story.
Yeah,
well,
that sounds
having Godzilla fighting another monster in a movie would have been more true to the whole, you know, Godzilla fashion.
It would. That is the typical thing. That's one thing he would have got more right. They made this, yeah, like a monster movie, really. Like,
yeah. It's not Godzilla.
Like Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, when actually Godzilla is supposed to be like someone, typically you see him fighting almost on behalf of humanity. Like, even the 2014 one did that.
Sometimes he's good. Sometimes he protects humans. So other times he's just like killing all the humans. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he has a little boy that he's friends with.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, but yeah, and honestly, for how bad it is, it made its money, but it didn't make. I think they probably broke even on this thing. They didn't make money because the marketing budget. That's what I'm curious about, because they spent about $130 to $150 million on this budget for this movie, and that's before the marketing. You got to imagine with the marketing machine they put in this. Yeah, they probably spent about $300 million, and that's all it really grossed worldwide was $300 million.
Yeah, it's not that people didn't go to see it; it's that it got really terrible reviews.
Yeah, I'm seeing $130 to $150 million budget, marketing of $80 million, so call it $230 million, but almost $380 million worldwide. So still a success. But
and actually, despite that performance, this movie was the most money worldwide an American movie based on a foreign film made up until Godzilla 2014 came out.
Huh. Okay.
So it actually made more money than any other American film that was based on a foreign film.
Yeah.
Well, this movie had a lot of things in common with a lot of movies that came out within like that mid to late 90s bracket of movies. Where
Armageddon came out though, yeah.
It's like it didn't matter how good the movie was. It only mattered that you had kids that were buying toys and wearing Godzilla Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, to be fair, back then the movies was more of an experience to go to because you didn't have the options for things that you do now. Now you couldn't make something like this and put it, I mean, I guess you can, but like it wouldn't garner this type of attention nowadays, really. Because a lot of the stuff would just end up on streaming platforms anyways now. But back then, with the you had a good marketing machine, sometimes it didn't matter how bad it was to some extent, like it still would do something. Because it was, like you're saying, it was kind of an excuse, especially if it's a kids' movie, it's an excuse to bring your kids to the theater. Parents don't care.
It's a popcorn flick.
This movie would have definitely ended up on Redbox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nowadays you couldn't do nothing like this, but, you know.
Well, there's the new Godzilla vs. Kong coming out soon, that which already, like, people are starting not to care about because Godzilla Minus One was so good that everybody's going to be like, fuck that Godzilla vs. Kong movie.
Well, Godzilla vs. Kong already came out. That was on HBO Max right now.
No, there's a new one.
Oh, did you talk about an update? Like a sequel, I guess?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, there's a sequel.
Ah, okay.
A sequel. Okay.
But, yeah, me and Ryan went to go see Godzilla Minus One, and that's probably the best Godzilla movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
I'm not saying you can't do Godzilla movies because they've rebooted the series with 2014 and they've been kicking it. But it's just, I'm talking about something like this. It's just this off the mark. I think because like these two guys, they got to make this movie, didn't give a fuck about Godzilla. They actually turned down doing this movie initially. And then they reapproached them, Sony and them. They were like, hey, look, I think Sony owned TriStar and had TriStar get them to do this film. And they were like, hey, look, we really want you to do it because I think they came off the success of Independence Day. And another movie too that was not too badly received. And so they just wanted them attached to doing this big Godzilla movie because they've got this contract. And Sony was particularly excited about this Godzilla movie. Because in fact, when I was doing some research, they actually went to TriStar initially to try and pitch this Godzilla movie and they said no. And then somehow or another, they ended up getting into Sony's offices. And Sony was like, yo, I want Godzilla. We'll do a Godzilla movie, you know, like this. And they were like, go back to TriStar, get them, and we're going to tell them to do it. So then they did it. And that's kind of how that started. They went to DuPont first, and he was like, no. Well, he said yes, but they didn't like how much money he wanted. They gave it to these guys. And that's kind of how that trickle-down effect happened. But yeah. I think nowadays, like, when you take an IP property, it's gone so far between like Marvel and DC and like any other thing that like nowadays, like back in the day, I think, because you've heard in other movies, like you could get these licenses, these properties, and you just like, yeah, do whatever. And that's what happened with this Godzilla movie. They had free control to do whatever the fuck they wanted. Like they were told like, no, we don't have anything, like go for it, whatever. And they were just like, oh, we don't like the idea of a monster fighting a monster. We think that's dumb. We're going to have them you fight humans and stuff like that. He's a monster. We got to kill him. That kind of thing. And they did that, which is completely off track from what Godzilla really was. But they just didn't care. And nowadays, I think when you get those property and those licenses, you're going to invest a lot of money to put in a theater. There's a lot more effort, I think, done into trying to get it right, but also trying to be different. And I don't know if we'll get stuff like this that's so far off, I guess, from what the actual IP is really about, as far as like what Godzilla is about, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, you talk about like being far off from a cinema mark. Let me tell you the most jarring thing to me about this. What is the original Godzilla? Like, that is a response, basically, a metaphor for when the U.S. bombed Japan in World War II. And basically, like, the radiation. I think that the radiation awakens Godzilla, and then he attacks Japan as a metaphor. But basically, it's like, this is because of the USA. Then the U.S. makes this movie, and what is the origin of this Godzilla? It's the French bombed a bunch of bombs and created Godzilla, like from the radiation. It's all the French people's fault. It's all of them. Yeah. America is innocent, and Godzilla attacks America, and they're like, "Damn it, it's the French!" And then the French people in this movie, John Reno, is like, oh, it's all our fault. You know, we're trying to right the wrong that we did. And then there's even a part where, like, some random guy, he looks at all the destruction, and he says, damn, Godzilla did all this, and we did nothing to him. Like, we're so innocent.
They might as well have said, you know, damn, first a Statue of Liberty, and now the French has given us Godzilla.
Yeah, it's like they put all the blame on the French, and it's so fucking hilarious because it was us. You know?
Well, like, I would say one really good thing about this movie is that Japan hated it so much that it brought Toho out of retirement to come out with Godzilla 2000.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Godzilla 2000, but I did hear it's pretty good.
They actually brought this creature back into one of their movies, but they just call it Zilla.
Godzilla Final Wars.
Yeah, and I think he fights what this Godzilla version called Zilla or something like that.
He beats him quick.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
I believe what he does is Godzilla does his signature dropkick. Mm-hmm. And then when Zilla goes flying, he blasts him. Mm-hmm. He blasts him with a ray and disintegrates him.
That's fantastic. A lot of people seem to give. Matthew Broderick, though. Yeah, no. A lot of people seem to give credit to the animated show. Did anybody watch the animated show?
I did.
I did. I don't remember it, but I'm sure.
Yeah,
I did.
Same.
It came on Kids WB or on the same time as Men in Black and anime and all that shit.
That one I remember.
Yeah, I do. They only got one season for it, but they said the Godzilla show was a little more honest to the actual IP of Godzilla than the fucking movie was. But I don't remember much about it. Did anybody remember much? Was this one of the babies that grows up in the show? I don't remember what it was.
I mean, it was a continuation, but they played it off like Godzilla didn't die at the end of the movie.
Oh, okay. That's how the show did it. All right. I was curious.
Yeah. Think of it The Incredible Hulk. Where the entire United States government was trying to hunt him down every episode, but Godzilla was helping the main characters
hitchhikes to the next town at the end of the movie, at the end of the episode. The whole
that'd be great.
Yeah. But yeah,
did anybody catch the mayor's name, Ebert?
Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna bring this up earlier. Yeah, that they already knew that Siskel and Ebert were gonna shit all over this movie, so they made them characters in the movie.
Well, and it was also retaliation for bad reviews on Stargate and I can't remember which other one, but
Independence Day. Stargate and Independence Day. They gave bad reviews to both of those movies.
Who gives a bad review to Independence Day? And also Stargate.
They did. Apparently they did. I pulled that fact out, actually. And they say that this was a response to negative reviews of Emmerich and Delvin's earlier film, Stargate. That was the other film I couldn't remember. So, yeah, Stargate 94 and Independence Day 96.
Yeah, but they didn't really do much with them.
That's what they criticized, actually, Siskel and Ebert. They actually criticized them because they were like, dude, you're going to make fun of us, put us in the movie. They're like, have Godzilla squish us or something. Instead, they just had them give each other thumbs up and thumbs down. They just kind of, that's all they did was thumbs up, thumbs down. he kind of made Ebert look like a douche in the movie, but
he's that shitty bear that makes all the wrong decisions.
Yeah.
And then Siskel is just his advisor that doesn't. The only thing he advises him on is candy. You shouldn't have candy. Here, have some candy. I thought you said you weren't gonna have candy.
Yeah, it's kind of
I don't want candy.
He kind of gives him the fat joke, right? You're too fat. Stop eating chocolate.
Yeah, he just has a bag of candy with him at all times.
That's definitely a play on with Siskel and Ebert having Siskel always going into things with an open mind, but Roger Ebert quickly gives everything a thumbs down.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
I didn't know human pregnancy test works on giant lizards.
And he wasn't even... You know, what was the thing with that? He wasn't actually looking to, like... He accidentally found out that Godzilla was pregnant. So, like, he was using the test for, like, something else.
He was pretty intentionally looking for it.
Was he? Because
he got the pregnancy test. He got, like,
20 of them. He was really, like, shocked. He was like, well, we know that he lives in water, and... Oh, shit, he's pregnant.
It's weird because there's just multiple times where Nick Totopoulos, his character, like every scene where he would go in and collect a sample, it's like he already knows what's wrong with it. He already knows what's up before he even tests it.
Well, yeah, why is he even
he's the
there?
Foremost expert on fucking earthworms in Chernobyl. Why wouldn't he?
like yeah, why? You know, it doesn't make sense because, like, he's the one who finds out that, like, Godzilla is, like, you know, he grew from the radiation. But, like, then that's, like, his job and everything. But that's not why they hired him, because, like, he's just the guy that they hired that finds that out, you know? But, like, why did they hire him in the first place?
Well, they give him the backstory that when he was in college, he rallied against, like, the use of nuclear weapons and stuff like that, like him and his girlfriend. And so now he decided to work with the government in nuclear, like, testing, because he's working on, from the inside, trying to get them to stop using nuclear. So he's supposed to be
a
specialist in nuclear. So I get why they would call him if they're suspecting nuclear radiation to be a function of this lizard for whatever reason. I forget why they attach that. But he also seems to be a specialist in just animals. And that doesn't make sense. Because typically when you go into a scientific field, you're specializing in something. You're not just scientists.
And his thing is worms.
Yeah.
Well, that paleontologist...
He studied multiple species affected by radiation. It's just really honed in on the earthworm thing. That's what he was working on when they found him.
Well, that paleontologist says, I don't think you're the right man for the job, but I do think you're cute.
Yeah, she was all over him, and he wanted nothing to do with her.
Nope, not at all.
Even his ex-girlfriend makes a backhand comment when he finally reveals that Godzilla is pregnant and is asexual and reproducing on his own. She goes, well, what's the fun in that?
Mm-hmm.
And then all he does is just pushes the glasses up the bridge of his nose, like, well, actually...
Well, that's like almost every Japanese anime ever, right? Where the girl makes these girls make passes at the hero, and the hero's just like, I don't know what's happening.
he wanted nothing to do with anybody, and like, and then she just totally fucks him over, and then Here's my other big deal with this. So he lets her into the military, the confidential military site. He leaves her alone in his room where she finds all the tapes and everything. He steals the tape, and then all they do is fire him. Like, he should be arrested, right?
I don't know if you have somebody for that.
Yeah,
for giving away confidential stuff.
It's
not really giving away. It's more like negligence.
Yeah, it's negligence. She stole it. Yeah, he didn't give it. So.
Now that's just part one. Part two is they fire him, so he goes behind their back to work with the French to like go into this area that like. He uses his pass and everything to get all these guys in there, and then he ends up solving the problem and everything, you know, like he does all this illegal shit, and then the military guy is just the general or whatever is just like, not bad. Like, how does the movie not end with everybody just being arrested?
Well, I don't think I follow that logic with you there, because first of all, he was actually kidnapped.
the taxi cab by the French.
Oh yeah, sure.
And brought over there.
That's true.
And also he has an invested interest in wanting when he thinks he's right about all these lizards, and he was.
And then I'm not saying he wasn't right.
I think also once first and the other thing too is they never knew the French were involved. The French guy disappeared. Now they should be able to figure it out because they ate the French guys. I don't know if they will. So they may not have
body parts. Oh, he just did it on himself.
So they think that he just did it kind of on himself. Yes, that would be the thing. Because the French guy doesn't want the government knowing. So inevitably, they're like, look, yeah, you gave away or you were negligent with our information, but you also saved New York by finding these things. Let's call it a wash. I don't think that's that crazy.
What I think is... what would happen is they arrest him, make sure he never sees the light of day again, and then take credit for everything that he did.
Well, it's hard to do that when it was broadcast with him and the girl showing that the whole Madison Garden was covered with lizard babies. So she proved it. They went live with it. So, I don't know if that tracks either.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Ferris Bueller could stand up to Leon the Professional.
No.
I mean,
and then that brings me to my next. movie should have been called Ferris Bueller Meets Godzilla.
What are you going to say, Aaron?
I was just going to say, like, I don't know, if you really want to get into it, like, dude, the amount of incompetence that was the Godzilla chase through New York. I think at the end of the day, it's like, hey, how about we just don't talk about this and we'll pretend like it was all part of the plan? Because, like, missing some 200 Velociraptor ripoffs in Madison Square Garden was a pretty big miss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you'd want to just, like, come out at the end of it and be like, oh, no, we worked with the French the whole time. Yeah, they were there while we did the other stuff. Yeah,
totally. To be fair, if the United States government really wanted it to be an issue to put, you know, all those characters in prison for 70 years, then I think the UN would have made an even bigger issue against the United States. Like, being so incompetent with everything.
That's what I'm saying is, like, you when it gets to that level, you just kind of take the W and you just don't fucking ask questions.
Yeah, I kind of would agree with that. I don't see... Actually, I didn't have a problem with that logic of the movie as far as how that shakes out for him. Other than the initial thing, right? Like, I would agree, Ian, you do bring up one point, that when they first saw that the news leak happened, I wonder if it would actually have been more protocol to arrest him right there, at least to keep him confined until the situation is assessed. So that not more information gets leaked out.
Oh, right. They just sent him packing. They were like,
they just let him go and he gets kidnapped by the French. So, yeah. Which, I mean, to be fair, what they could have done too is if they did arrest him, the French could have came and busted him out some kind of way. Because they're like,
way better. that would have been so much better.
Yeah.
While we're talking about the incompetence, I do want to talk about my favorite part of this movie, which is when they're, like, chasing him in the Apache helicopters or whatever the fuck, and they shoot the missiles and miss him completely. You just hear the pilot, and he's like, "Ah, damn!" And then they destroy the Chrysler building.
Yeah.
Ah, damn!
See,
that should have been... Imagine, like, if Will Smith was that guy. Like, damn!
Well, I think that guy died. Like, here's
the guy that should have been arrested, but he got eaten, you know? And also, to your point, Ian, if Will Smith was flying that craft, there's no way he would have missed.
Yeah, good point. So maybe they don't arrest Tipitopoulos. Tipitopoulos. Or whatever.
Dabby 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 dab.
It's Tipitopoulos. They really love making that joke. What about the news girl? How many times should she have been arrested or fired? Either fired or arrested with everything that she did. Because she just like she went from being just this assistant to like hey, stop being a nice guy. So she just, like, steals everything from everybody. And, like, she steals the guy's badge and puts her own face on it. And, she's just breaking laws.
Well, technically, she should have been fired right in the first sight when she met up with her boss. And then he said, "You're beautiful. We should have dinner." She said, "No."
That would have shook out is that potentially, yeah. But no, I don't know if that tracks either with her, because she steals the ID, but he doesn't know who. And they're also in the middle of covering this whole Godzilla disaster. It's kind of crazy. So I don't know if you pinpoint who takes the ID. And then she takes his stuff, but he doesn't name her to anybody. The press gets, because if you remember right, she doesn't get credit for uncovering the information. Her boss does. But technically speaking, he should get arrested because he came out with all the information.
Yeah, but he also, what I'm saying is he should have fired her for doing everything that she did.
Well, he didn't know. Like, how did he find any of that out? Like, he didn't know she stole the ID. She never gave that to him. He just thinks he lost it, right?
Yeah. But, like, still, she made the report. It didn't end up getting, he stole the report from her. But, like, he saw that she did that, and that's not her job. So he'd been like, all right, you're fired.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, he used it as a stepping stool. So I don't know if you get rid of the people you step on to get to a better position for yourself. So
I guess back to when she turned down the dinner date and then stuck the gum on his cutout's face. Obviously, that's vandalism of company property. So that's
gone. Yeah, I think we fall apart to where Ryan's at, where she should have been let go right there.
I'm going to say for very different reasons. I'm cool with Ryan canceling himself. I'm wanting to stay afloat on this one, so I'm going to go with vandalization.
To Ryan's defense, it was the 90s. That's probably how that worked back then.
That was fine. Everybody is like, especially to her, they're just like, hey, let's fuck. Like her friends, they're like, hey, she's going to stay with us for a couple nights. And Animal's just like, all right, we're going to have a threesome.
Everyone in this movie is so horny. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Except for Nick Tatopoulos.
Who's horny for worms?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Godzilla's, I guess, horny. Godzilla fucks himself and lays eggs.
Yeah.
What's the fun in that?
This could be a lot of fun in that, man. Try it.
Annabelle's wife, she's so New York. Like, they really amp that New Yorker stereotype up.
Somebody had to.
Yeah, which I do appreciate it.
I can only imagine how, besides the fact Godzilla rampaging through New York, how miserable it was for everyone. It's just raining.
Yeah.
The weather is just disgusting in this movie.
And they go out to see the mayor, and they're all like holding newspapers above their head.
And, it's constantly raining in this movie the whole time.
I kind of feel bad for the army in that movie. Just they're just constantly in the fucking rain.
One episode ago, you were like, man, fuck you. And then this one, you're like, man, I feel bad for the army.
Well, here's the thing, dude. I've been there. And you know what happens when there gets so much water into your gun? It jams. Those guns should not have worked.
Not in this movie.
Not in this fucking movie. But no, those guns should not have worked. As much as it was pouring ash raining.
The guns worked and the video camera worked. The tape didn't work that well.
Oh yeah, the video camera working is kind of well, the footage was really choppy with the one where he got out of Godzilla. But yeah. I mean, I thought Renault stepped on his fucking camera
He threw it on the ground and stepped on it, but the tape was still good. Then it looked like he just had the camera back again. I don't understand what happened. Then he had the tape. And I was confused a little by that. Well, I guess they got the other camera inside the news air, maybe. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I will say, on a positive note, I actually did like some of the pacing of this movie, at least in the beginning. To your point, the beginning was kind of strong, where, all right, like, they just got into Godzilla.
That's why they gave up.
Yeah, but they kind of got to the point of the movie faster than I expected. I think in 2014, for how good it was, it really slow rolled getting into the meat of Godzilla. From what I recall, it's been a while since I watched it. From what I recall, it kind of slow rolled into it. In this one, it was almost on jump. Godzilla's taking tankers down. He jumps into New York. He's running all over the place. Yeah. Like, it's happening. And I think that was actually to the benefit of this movie for all the problems with it.
Especially with a movie being 2 hours and 19 minutes. The first time we see a good glimpse of him, really good glimpse of him, is at the 46-minute mark.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of feet shots and everything with him, but yeah. But yeah.
I kind of like that. It's kind of the Jaws thing. Sorry, go ahead.
And for it being basically almost 2.5 hours long, I felt like, I don't feel like it really dragged that much for me in my watching. It felt like there was things happening that I'm kind of with it. There's, bad stuff here, stuff that don't make sense there, but there's things until happening. The third act. Yeah. Yeah, the, I mean, third act.
Slowed down. But I like the whole thing.
They needed to cut it.
Yeah. Where, they pick up Matthew Broderick, and they're like, hey, you're standing in the sample. And it's like, oh, I don't see it. And then the camera, comes up to, a headshot view. It, tilts up. And then you see the footprint, and it's like, oh, shit. I kind of like that part. And I like the part where, in New York, when Godzilla first comes, but first before you see him, there's the rumbling of his footsteps, and all the cars are bouncing and the alarms are going off. Everybody's like, "What the fuck's going on?"
Yeah,
that was kind of cool.
I think for me that have seen a bunch of the Godzilla films growing up, and now seeing this brand new Godzilla -1, 98 just reminds me of, besides Godzilla and all the destruction, the story was just very uninteresting.
Godzilla -1 was the Godzilla movie to end all Godzilla movies.
Where
hopefully that it doesn't, but you get what I'm saying. It's like that they did that one so right.
Yeah, like not having Godzilla in the picture, it was a very interesting story, and I was very engaged with it. When I was watching this movie a second time, without all the destruction and Godzilla doing his thing, I was just looking at my phone most of the time.
Yeah. And then the dialogue is so fucking corny.
Yeah, and they introduce all the characters and stuff up front, but they don't really give them any depth until almost towards the end of the movie, and even then it's kind of a shallow depth of who these characters are.
They're all one-dimensional.
Yeah. So.
Aaron, what do you think about all this?
I don't know, man. I think the story is pretty lacking. I think you can tell that they were really just going for a lot of destruction and action sequences, like a Michael Bay approach to doing a movie. Sure. The characters aren't super well developed. I guess the most you get is a decent amount of Matthew Broderick's backstory. You know what I mean?
Which
makes sense if he's your protagonist. But I don't know, man. Just kind of upon a rewatch, just sort of meh. But I think if you also go back to this time period, this movie was just meant to be a monster smash movie, and so they put their focus there.
Yeah, for sure. When I was doing my rewatch in the first couple scenes, I was like, this actually isn't that bad. And like the yeah, all the shots were pretty good. The footprint, like I was saying, I was like, you know what? I think most people hate this movie just to hate on it. Like, they hear other people talk shit about it, so they talk shit about it. And then, like, 20, 30 minutes into the movie, I'm like, okay, this is really corny. But it's okay. And then, like, you know, the first scene of Godzilla crashing through New York, I was like, you know, this really isn't that bad. And then everything after that, I was like, nah, this is pretty bad. and then it just kept getting worse. And then by the end of it, I was just like, whatever.
I think when they introduced, like, the baby stuff and everything, I think they were trying too much to do their own Jurassic Park scene.
Yeah.
Because that scene...
Yeah. So, the in Jurassic Park, the dinosaurs are reproducing asexually. Or, no, not asexually. They're changing their sex.
Well, not just that. I'm talking about the scene where they're, like, running through Madison Square Gardens, and the dinosaurs are, like, they're opening doors and see them, and they're shutting them, and, like... They're having all these kind of scenes and things that are kind of reminiscent of what Jurassic Park did, but they just did it way better.
It's a thriller of running through a broken up Madison Square Garden trying to, you know, because all I thought was that scene from Jurassic Park where those two kids were running from the raptors.
Or Lost World with the raptors are chasing all the guys
and it worked. The suspense, the thriller of it, the thrill, it was just, it worked.
Yeah,
this here didn't care.
And this one, he's in an elevator and the elevator opens and there's all the baby Godzillas and they all stop what they're doing, they all look at him and it's like, wrong floor. And then he closes the doors. Like, what the fuck was that?
I really think, just like the other characters, I really think those French guys had a lot of room to escape. But they were just so incompetent and bumbling that they died.
Yeah. Like, it was so, really... Somebody has to die in this movie, and it's going to be the people who are at fault for Godzilla.
I think especially when you look at, like, the core group of what was his face, Philippe, the main French guy, Matthew Broderick, the reporter, and Animal, like, how many fucking near misses did they have with those dinosaur babies where it's just like, dude, how could you not escape these things? Like, they're trying so hard not to kill you at this point.
Yeah, like, yeah, dude, they're like, they're by the eggs are hatching and he's like, we smell like their food, and then like, so we should probably go. All right, that's a good idea.
There was a lot of dipping and dodging from these baby Godzillas, and those French guys literally stood in one place and watched as they like jumped and pounced on them.
Yeah, it's like, it was really selective. Like, in certain parts, like, a Godzilla baby can smash through two doors by himself and take down a Frenchman that's, you know, obviously an ancillary character, but... In others, a broomstick handle is enough to keep, like, a whole mess of them outside two double doors while Philippe and Matthew Broderick just, you know, figure out what to do next. I don't know, man. There was just so many, like, really fucked up. Like, when they're actually escaping Madison Square Garden, there's, like, shooting down the chandeliers. And all the dinosaurs are like, oh, let's just clear a path. Let's just clear a path, man. Just don't even fuck with it. Just don't worry about it.
Dude, a scene in there had me dying laughing on the floor was when Jean Reno was telling Matthew Broderick that the call in for the strike or call in for the bomb, but it wasn't working on his phone. So he's like, what does he do? He pulls out a couple of cents and goes to the pay phone. I was like, holy shit, the fucking pay phone.
Actually, that reminds me of another favorite moment I have from this was when they're like, we can't get out. And she's like, I have an idea. And they go to like the press box, you know, for whatever. And she goes, this one is connected to an internet. That is exactly the word.
Oh, yeah.
It's connected to an internet.
It's an internet. I do remember that line.
I was like, in 98, we still did not quite understand what the internet was.
Yeah.
It wasn't available to all of us just yet.
I was pretty happy that there was a scene where they play Puff Daddy's Come With Me in the background. So
I remember seeing this in the theater, and the movie ended, and the credits came in, and I was like, oh, this is kind of a cool song. And my dad, who grew up listening to Led Zeppelin when he was in high school, was like, what the fuck is this?
It's the number one song.
You know, I wasn't a fan of the song until I saw a clip of the music video, and then I was like, oh, this is great.
I saw him perform it on SNL.
Yeah. That's the month we came out. Oh my god. It's fantastic.
So for those listening or who may not be aware, Led Zeppelin did a song called Cashmere. It's very popular. And 20 years later, Puff Daddy
and Jimmy Page,
really shitty rap song out of it. And to make it even worse, he actually hired Jimmy Page to play guitar for it. And it's like, and it's just so disappointing on so many levels. And like, I was listening to it after I finished watching the movie last night. I was just like, wow, this is really terrible.
You know, I think after the movie played, I tried to download a bunch of songs from the soundtrack onto my Apple Music, and it would not allow me to get that song or like Green Day's Brain Stew, which was the Godzilla remix, was just the song, but they added Godzilla screaming to the song. So technically it was Brain Stew featuring Godzilla.
What's better than, instead of listening to Puff Daddy, just listen to any song by the band called Bonzilla and you'll have a good time.
Well, you can't forget the Wallflowers is covered to David Bowie's Heroes. That was a good song too.
Is that also on the soundtrack?
It is.
Okay.
And there was a music video for it too. But yeah, I would suggest everybody to stop what they're doing, like stop this episode and go watch Puff Daddy's video of Come With Me, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
It is pretty great, all done behind the backdrop. He's basically rapping at Godzilla. It's fantastic.
And at the end, when he drops that last Come With Me line, he turns around, Godzilla makes an appearance.
And then doesn't everything blow up at the end?
Yeah.
It just blows up at the end.
See, that's why you should come with him.
Yeah. What else? Anybody else have anything about this? I think we pretty much covered everything.
What about when they're in the taxi and Godzilla picks him up with his mouth?
Oh yeah, fucking animals like, we're in his mouth, we're in his mouth. Just fucking yelling it over and over again. We're like, yeah, we know, like everybody knows. And then Nick Tapolis just,
that's where it really dragged out at, is the fact that like they do the whole thing where they kill Godzilla, then they're dealing with the Godzilla babies, but then Godzilla's not dead, and they have to kill him again, basically. And this weird thing where like they show Godzilla like looking at his dead babies, and then you're just like, you know, you're just killing animals at this point. Now, granted, they're a nuisance because they're giant and destructive.
But I would say that this movie... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just saying, like, it does... I can see a string of animal activists just, like, all supportive of Godzilla just killing us all.
I did notice that in true Godzilla fashion, was right in the beginning of the movie, having those Japanese sailors, and right at the end of the movie, where with all the death and destruction, we have our protagonist feeling so helplessly bad for Godzilla, as if like, oh, what we did was a terrible, what we did was a terrible thing.
Right, because he's just a large animal that just wants to fucking live and have its babies. Like, that's all. Because that's the thing, is that like in the other Godzilla movies, he's actually like attacking Japan, and this, like, he's just trying to like make a nest.
They draw him out. And he just wants to get away.
And it's the military that does way more damage to the buildings and everything than Godzilla does.
It's true.
Godzilla runs through one building.
Yeah. Though it feels like the creators, we just really wanted Godzilla to destroy New York, or just be in New York. But I guess if it was really from Japan, wouldn't it more or less end up more in L.A. than New York?
Yeah, it would.
But this one wasn't from Japan.
No, I know that. I think that's why they gave it the French spin, is because they wanted some reason for it to go to New York instead.
Yeah, and then you get a shot of the Twin Towers.
Would it? Yeah. But would it be... what would this movie have looked like in L.A.? Well, I guess is what I'm posing as a question to everyone here. Like, what do y'all think? Would it have been better? Worse? Would we have had military involved?
I think if this movie would have been in L.A., we would have got ourselves like another Gremlins 2 The New Batch. Just...
if it was in L.A., everyone would have had a real problem with him insisting that Godzilla's gender was he. Like, it's a trans animal, and you need to respect his rights, goddammit.
I think you might be a few years too early before that became
instead of giving Godzilla all that fish, they would have got like a bunch of sushi and couscous.
I would have actually loved if it wasn't the French army doing it. It was just a bunch of like fucking Mexicans, and they're like, oh my god, man, this is out of control.
It was our fault. And instead of it, Jean Reno, it would have been Cheech Marin.
Exactly. Danny Trejo eventually takes down Godzilla.
Yes, that's it.
I get this. Instead of Puff Daddy, it's Dr. Dre.
I would have thought like more like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, it's probably Snoop Dogg. Yeah, maybe
both. Yeah. I mean, it was the 90s. They were still tight. So.
Hell yeah! It's the GODIZ double ZA coming at you here in LA.
Yeah, exactly.
That should have been the sequel. The sequel that we did not get, that it's set up for.
Speaking of which, now is the time of the podcast where we're talking about sequels. So, Ryan, tell us about what your idea for a sequel to this movie would be.
Well, I feel like the Kids WB already ripped off my sequel, making it kid-friendly.
It was already kid-friendly. Did you see all the people who did not die in this movie? When Godzilla smashed through Manhattan, nobody died. What happened in Godzilla 2?
I think in Godzilla 2 that somehow, in some way, there was like more Frenchmen that Jean Reno had. And they wind up getting an egg back to France.
Ooh, okay.
And then somehow that Godzilla got bigger and went on a rampage. So they had to get, you know, Matthew Broderick back because, you know, he needed his money.
you need the same cast back, too.
Right. And this time, this movie would actually feature Puff Daddy, where he would perform the song, because I think that's what the first movie was missing. And then, of course, they would bring back the love interest because, you know, she finally wants to get some of that Matthew Broderick D that she was missing in the last movie. I think it would have came full circle.
I think you're right. I think it actually would have been great is instead of piling up fish to get Godzilla, they should have just gave P. Diddy a stage and some speakers and just have him perform. And Godzilla's I want to see what this is about.
But the French was like, we need to feed Godzilla. So instead of fish, they would have like dropped a bunch of croissants. And then I would have loved to have a scene where Jean Reno goes, well, he drinks his cup of coffee and goes, now this is coffee.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And Godzilla doesn't eat the croissants. They're like, he doesn't like the croissants. Why does he? What's wrong with our croissants?
And all the French are offended by Godzilla. And that's why they open fire on him.
Yeah.
For wasting all the croissants.
Yep. Seth, what about you? You got any ideas?
For a sequel?
Yeah.
Well, I just kind of gave one in L.A., but I guess that was actually more of a remake, but, like, honestly, it could be a sequel where it's just from a different spot. I guess I'll go with that. They'll pick another city for Godzilla to attack in America. Although, I would really like to see the Mexican Godzilla that attacks Texas instead, because I think that... Crazy Texans releasing all the tigers that they have held captive to fight Godzilla with massive guns. Like, it would just be insane.
Oh, yeah. There would be a lot of people shooting that.
But one of the tigers mutates. It becomes a giant mutated tiger.
Yeah.
And now Godzilla's going to fight him.
Have a beast in that. But actually, I want the scene in Texas where you hear the stomps and you see the plate shaking. And instead of everybody running in Texas, they all get out, pull out guns, and open fire on Godzilla. Like, the opposite of what happened in New York and Texas. Everybody just steps outside and sees a giant lizard, and they all just open fire.
Yeah, and then he just kills them all.
Yeah, and then they all die.
Pretty cool. Aaron, how about you?
Okay, so one of the eggs is left undestroyed at the end of this movie, and it hatches, right? We have a new Godzilla. He subtly makes his way to Baltimore, where he grows and begins to wreak havoc. And absolutely no one gives a shit because it's Baltimore. they just let him have it. They're just like, it's probably better this way.
Actually, that might happen too if he makes his way to Detroit.
So you're saying this when the government is like,
they decided to shit on Baltimore instead.
So after 2 hours and 19 minutes, they're like, do we really need Maryland? Do we really need that?
Yeah. The newscast is like, Godzilla's back, but. And everybody's just like, what else is on TV? Let's change the channel. So that's pretty good. What is a really popular Godzilla movie from like the 60s and 70s? That's right, Mechagodzilla. There's a few movies. There's a handful of movies where Godzilla fights Mechagodzilla. And this one is no different, but it's. And instead of Mechagodzilla, it's Mecha.
Elon Musk?
No, better. Mecha. Nyctatopoulos, a Mecha Matthew Broderick, aka Inspector Gadget.
But he has a Amazon sticker, and you realize he's hired by Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, but because remember, a couple years later, Matthew Broderick did Inspector Gadget.
He did do Inspector Gadget.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a combination of the two.
but I think the problem is that that in the spirit of Inspector Gadget, I think with this sequel that you're pitching, Ian, that they could not afford Matthew Broderick, so they got French Stewart to do it instead.
Wait, did he also play Inspector Gadget?
He played in the second Inspector Gadget.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
It's stinky in here. There's so much of why it's so stinky in God. Here.
There's no way we can get in there. It's so stinky in there. Inside right. jokes galore.
Yeah, no, there's an inside joke with Inspector Gadget and that with me and Ryan. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I had to get him with it.
I forgot all about it too.
No, there's a show of Inspector Gadget where in the episode Dr. Call puts a stink bomb in the police department and they can't operate anymore because it's too stinky. And that's like the whole plot of one of the episodes.
Oh my
Inspector
God.
Gadget show. It's like some show. I think I put it on for my kids. Years ago, and Ryan was over, and I was like, dude, look at the plot of this. And he's just like, it's stinky in here. I think one of the characters said that. Like, it's just so stinky to work. It's like the whole plot. Like, Dr. Claw's evil master plan is just to make it too stinky to operate. So, yeah.
Wow.
It'll always be attached to me every time I see Inspector Gadget. I'll never forget.
Never forget.
It's a kid's show. Who the fuck cares, right? I'm not worried about yeah. plot.
That's true. All right. Well, let's go ahead and rate this thing. As far as production goes, I'll start. And it's like, production is pretty high. Production is really high. So, like Godzilla looks pretty good. The action scenes, the explosion, it's all pretty legit up until the end, where it was kind of messy with the baby Godzillas, but it's pretty good. So I'll give 9. Well, good production. 9 pregnant Godzillas. Yes. Okay. And then for story, the story is fucking ludicrous. So it's like two hot women hitting on Nick Tutopoulos, and the enjoyment, like I said, pretty good first act, and then it just goes downhill from there. So I'll give it, because the first act and the pacing is decent, I'll give it a couple points for that. So it'll be like 3 people who mispronounced Tatopoulos' name so they can make that same "it's Tatopoulos" joke. Seth, on to you.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. Hold on, sorry. Double feature. I'll double feature this with another big budget action movie that came out that same year that also years later kind of sucks. Armageddon. Especially, like, remember when they made the Godzilla reference at the beginning when the dog was, like, attacking those Godzilla toys and then a meteor, like, lands on it? Sorry. So good. And Godzilla first and then Armageddon. Go ahead, Seth.
Okay. All right, I'm with you on production. I'm right around 9, I think, too. I do think that for 98, I mean, there was a lot of money in this movie, and it shows.
So I don't think it's really bad, especially considering many of the movies that get rated on this podcast. Like, this one does stand out more. I would say that it is 9 footprints you can step in. For the story, there is one thing I wanted to know more than him understanding that this is a male Godzilla that can get pregnant on its own, is he also makes the comment that every Godzilla is born pregnant, which seems very, very depressing. He makes that statement to everyone when he's broadcasting live that they're born pregnant. And I was very confused by how you came to that conclusion. But regardless, story-wise, I'm at like a, I don't know, 4, I guess. Like, it's a basic story that's not like, it's kind of almost by the numbers at this point now of just monster comes, destroy city, we save, blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of loose ends in it that just don't, like, hold up with further inspection. And so I would say I am at, let's see, 4 times that animal should have probably got killed and stepped on. And enjoyment, I would say I mean, some of this is tied to the nostalgia. I remember this coming out. I went to theaters for this. I do remember that. And I don't hate this movie. I mean, I'm kind of at a 6, I think, for it as far as enjoyment goes. Let's see. 6. Six fish to draw Godzilla out. The movie I would tie in with this is the movie that Ryan referenced where Godzilla drops kicks this Godzilla and kills it. And that would be the double feature to watch that after this.
Not bad.
There you go. Yep, that's your double feature.
Alright, cool. Aaron, what are we going to do next?
Let's see. So, yeah, I'm going to also give it a pretty high rating on production value. The money was there. They did pretty great special effects for 98. So I'm going to go ahead and give it 9 Hershey Kisses for Mayor Ebert. story was just not really there. It's just a monster smash grab movie. So, like, 3 fish that are still flopping around in Madison Square Garden despite being out of the water for several hours. That bugged me. And then on enjoyment, man, like, with the caveat that 9-year-old me enjoyed this movie, but, like, rewatching it, it's just not very good. So I'm gonna give it 3 times that I would have paid to see Godzilla say, "Hey, I'm walking here."
Oh yeah, there definitely should have been more New Yorkers. Like, 1 was not enough.
Let's see, for double feature, okay, so this is a Godzilla movie that doesn't really have Godzilla in it, so I think it should be paired with another monster movie that doesn't really have the monster in it. So we'll do Mighty Joe Young. It's King Kong, not King Kong.
Yeah, oh man.
You can watch them in any order. It does not matter. You are not dying.
I forgot about that movie. I think everybody forgot about it. I'm surprised you even thought of it.
I think you ruined all of us by reminding us about that movie. So thank you, Aaron.
You gentlemen are very welcome.
And then finally we got Ryan.
All right, I guess we can all agree that the production value was pretty high. Big budget, you know, I'm going to give it a high score. But I still do not like the CGI in this movie. It's still pretty bad for me. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a 7. 7 pounds that Godzilla should have lost because he's looking kind of fat in this movie.
Yeah, wait till 2014 Godzilla comes out.
Oh yeah, he really packed on those poundage.
He gets strong.
14 pounds. Story was just very uninteresting. I mean, I didn't care for the story. So I would probably give it 3 more cups of coffee. I wanted Jean Reno to complain about.
Yeah, they should have given him more coffee throughout the whole movie. They're like, God, this was some good coffee.
But at the end of the day, for entertainment, didn't love it. I didn't hate it. So I'm going to go ahead and meet it halfway. So I'm going to give it 5 different types of pregnancy tests that Matthew Broderick had to buy.
All right.
And for my double feature, watch this movie first and then go out and see Godzilla Minus One. Excellent.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that really is such a good movie. It's such a low budget too. That is so much the very opposite of what this movie is. It's super super low budget, has a great story,
and I spent less money too to see this movie comparatively to 1998's Godzilla.
How so?
I went with some friends, so they didn't have any money. So I wound up
paying it. Yeah, Godzilla 98 will always remind Ryan of the freeloaders who came with him to the movie.
I don't know. 4 tickets in 98 might still be less than 1 IMAX, the one today. The IMAX was pretty.
It was like $5 at the time, so I mean, you know, $20.
Yeah, IMAX was $20. Yeah.
You broke even. You're breaking even, Ryan.
Hey, I had to cut more grass to get fucking $20 then than to get $20 now. So
yeah, well, there you go.
I worked harder for that money then.
I guess that's a good point.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for this episode. Oh, maybe so bad they get Midnight Cool Quest and can't. If you come away with anything in this movie, anything that we have told you, it's go see Godzilla Minus One. It's pretty good. Other than that, I think that we're gonna start making fun of the old Godzilla movies coming up in the next couple weeks, so stay tuned to that. Everybody, thanks for joining. Of course, you guys are great, that's why I keep bringing you back. And everybody, thanks for listening. And what have you. Later.
Don't forget to wash your decks!